really clever and in titling my message today, I thought I'd come up with something original called From Chaos to Purpose. When Marty asked me what my topic was this morning for the CDs, I said, From Chaos to Purpose. She said, You've preached that before. I said, No, I haven't. Yes, you have. Then she brought me the CD that says From Chaos to Purpose. It was dated, I think, over a year ago. I said, I have no idea what's on that message. I don't know what I preached back then, but I know what I'm preaching today, and it's From Chaos to Purpose. So anyway, I'm still calling it that. So we'll call it From Chaos to Purpose number 2. It'll probably be a 3, 4, 5, I don't know. Actually, it started from some work that I do for when I'm creating stuff for our life impact processes. Here's what I discovered, and some of you have been through some of my processes, and if you're pretty healthy from, say, 0 to 10, 10 being good, and you're at about a 4 or a 5, you could jump right into our life impact shift, and it is very powerful. But I found out everybody's not at a 4 or a 5 in life. Some people are at 0, 1, or 2. And their life is turned upside down, very definition of chaos. So I developed a whole process now for our coaches that can take somebody from chaos, devastation, to walking in victory. And it is a process. And I'm going to bring you some of that today, but some of the material I have today is not even in that process, so it might get longer. You know, the difference between me doing a message on Sunday morning and a seminar, I just get to preach longer. That's basically what it means. I get to teach more. But what I'm going to share with you today is more teaching than it is preaching. Teaching trains us, preaching inspires us, but what I have today, God has put in my heart, and I'm gonna share it with you. From chaos to purpose. I don't care what Marty says. That's the message today. Now, you don't want to pick a fight with Marty. I'm just saying. Okay. Let me give you the synonym. Most of us don't need a definition of chaos. We've probably lived it. You might be living it right now. But here's some of the synonyms. Disorder. Confusion, bedlam, disarray, anarchy, turmoil, pandemonium, mess. Anybody identify with any of those synonyms in your life? Yeah, all of us unfortunately experience those. It's always the result of our world being turned upside down. People that we believed in or things that we trusted either failed us or promises were broken. And things that we had hoped for. I work with a lot of married couples. And here's something I know. I don't think, might be one or two exceptions to this, but most people don't get married to get a divorce. Most people don't get married to have problems. They get married to enjoy and live life together. And then, can I use some language of Pastor Maiden? All hell breaks loose. We all understand that. Everything goes crazy. And life gets turned upside down. And we start experiencing pain and confusion and loss and disorder and all of these things that happen to us. Now, unfortunately, emotional pain as well as physical pain is often part of the human experience. everybody feels it at some time or another, or experiences it at some time or another. And it can be rejection. Rejection is a big thing that causes pain. Disappointments, health issues, our spouse's behavior, our children's behavior, our own behavior sometimes turns our world upside down. And we have the unexpected events, the loss of a loved one, the divorce, the financial reversals. We could go on and on. All of the things that can throw us into a state of chaos. And our first response is generally, I can't believe this is happening. Anybody ever said that before? I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe this is happening to us. I can't believe this is taking place. And then it's not uncommon for us to get stuck in chaos. Now, that's a terrible place to be, is stuck in chaos. And we're going to unpack that a little more here in a few moments. But the reason that we're stuck, and a lot of people that come to me for to work with them will often tell me, I'm stuck. I'm spinning my wheels, but I'm not going anywhere. Have you ever been stuck on ice? You're spinning your wheels. What's that thing that measures your speed? Speedometer. Thank you. This is fill in the gap message. The speedometer is registering, but you're not moving, and you're stuck. Doesn't mean you're lost, it just means you're stuck. You might know exactly where you are, but you're stuck. And oftentimes when we're stuck, it's the result of resisting the present. We are resisting the present by telling the past what it shouldn't be. That shouldn't have happened. We're resisting the present because somebody else is not doing what they ought to have done. Or we didn't get the job we wanted, or we didn't get the promotion that we wanted. And so we are stuck. Now, when we're in this state, we often ask the wrong questions. Now, here's the questions that keeps you stuck. So these are the questions you don't want to ask yourself. What did I do wrong? See, you can't go back and undo the past. And dwelling on what you did wrong won't help you so much in the present. What could I have done different? What should I have done? What's wrong with me? I can't believe this. This can't be happening. This is not supposed to be. And those kind of questions generally produce a toxic answer. A toxic answer is always laced with judgment, shame, guilt, and condemnation. I had somebody recently ask me this question. I've had it asked more than once, but it came up recently. Do you think God is not healing me because of what I did in the past? And I said, well, you're asking the wrong question. The question is not, is God not healing me because of what I've done in the past? The question is, are you keeping God's healing back because of what you believe in the present? You see, if you don't believe God has forgiven your past, it'll become a barrier to God's blessings in the present. I said this a while ago, I referred to it. Here's something we need to know. The Bible says that we are justified by faith. Love that verse. And somebody came up with this, I don't know who it was, but somebody came up and said, justified means just as if we had never sinned. Now, we can't hardly even wrap our brain around that. But let me tell you, that in heaven and heaven's record, if you have come to Jesus for forgiveness of your sin, in heaven, it's just as if you had never sinned. Now, your wife might not feel that way. Your husband might not feel that way. Your family might not feel that way. But in heaven, it's just as if you had never sinned. So if we can start living on earth what is written in heaven, we bring heaven to earth. When you can bring just as if I had never sinned into your prayer life, and the way that you request from God, we'll quit pushing God's answer away and we'll open. We talk about opening the windows of heaven. Would you open the windows of your soul and let God answer your prayers? It's not about him not wanting to. It's not about him judging you. That was taken care of on the cross. It's not about him condemning you. Jesus carried that. It's not about your shame. He bore that. Let's start believing on earth what heaven says about us. We are just as if we had never sinned. Go ahead. Give him a great big praise offering. Amen. Okay, now, Felicia said this a moment ago, and we talk about it all the time. If you work with me very long, you're going to hear this so many times, you'll be quoting it yourself, that it's a process, not an event. Our growth is a process, not an event. All of us that have had children did not expect to go into the crib one morning and our baby be 6 foot tall. That'd scare us to death if that happened, right? But we know their growth is a process, and so is our spiritual walk. We're growing all the time, or hopefully we are. But here's what we have to know if we're going to deal with chaos in a healthy way. It takes time to accept the unacceptable. I've had people call me and say, this cannot happen in my life. This cannot happen to us. This cannot take place. So we're always trying to push against the unacceptable. Now, I think I know how to stand on the promises of God. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But I can't stand for if I'm resisting against. Did that come out? That makes sense? Okay, good. We can't stand for if we're resisting against. See, the thing that causes us more pain, and I'm going to give you a formula. Here's my formula. P plus S equals S. No, that's the wrong formula. P plus R equals S. Now it makes sense. Pain plus resistance produces more suffering. When we're continually saying something shouldn't have been, couldn't have been, can't be, we are resisting the present reality. You cannot move forward if you can't accept where you are at the moment. Now, I told this story in the 9 o'clock service. I said, when we were all in Puerto Rico, and we were trying to get somewhere, and we got lost, and I couldn't find the highway, and I knew if I could find Highway 30, I'd know where I was, but we couldn't find Highway 30. So I called on Siri. Siri knows everything, right? And I said, Siri, find Route 30. Siri started answering me back and giving me directions in Australia. We were so lost in Puerto Rico that Siri thought we were in Australia. True story. So Siri doesn't know where you are all the time. But you have to find out where you are. You know, we all have these devices now, and so we don't have to give people directions to our house much anymore. But if somebody did call you and said, I'm trying to come to your house, and you're going to give them direction, what's the first thing you're going to ask them? Where are you? You're not going to ask them where they've been. They want to know where you are. If you know where you are, I can help you get to my house. And if you will acknowledge where you are, not where you've been, not what should have been, could have been, wished it had been, shouldn't have, all of that stuff. And you can just say, okay, God, here's where I am right. You know, isn't that the way we come to the Lord? I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. He says, just come to me right now. Let's take care of this right in the present, in the here and now. So we get stuck when we dwell on the past rather than acknowledge where we are. When we acknowledge where we are in the moment, we can take hold of our future. If you don't have something to get a hold of in your future, your past will always pull you back. Now, here's what we know from neuroscience. It's neurologically impossible for you to break an old habit if you don't create a new one. Your brain just, the brain doesn't, you can't walk out of your old story if you don't create a new story. Now, did you ever, I gotta hurry, that was a note to me. Did you ever play on the monkey bars on your playground at school? You ever do that? Got a hold of this bar, you swung to this bar, and you swung to the next bar. Here's a key. You don't turn loose of the past one if you haven't already got a hold of the front one, right? What happens? You're going to fall. Well, your brain knows that you can't turn loose of what is in the past if you don't have a hold of something in the future. So the Apostle Paul says, leaving those things that are behind, I press toward the goal that is set before me. You can never live in chaos or leave chaos if you don't have somewhere that you are going forward. Are you ready? Now I'm going to get to the preaching part. All right, let's go. I got some good stuff here. I hope this helps you as much as it helps me. We're going to look at the master of chaos. I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 1. I would have never dreamed I was going to preach about this from Genesis chapter 1. But I'm telling you, God dropped this into my spirit the other day. I've never preached this message from that passage. I've never seen it before till the Lord gave it to me. So I hope it is as meaningful to you as it is to me. In the beginning, God, what did he do in the beginning? Created what? The heavens and the earth. And then the earth was without what? Form and void. It was in chaos. Now, when I was in Bible school, they had us read a book by a theologian by the name of Sowers, Eric Sowers, and here's what he said. He said, we are confused between verse 1 and verse 2. Because God cannot create anything that's imperfect. God doesn't create chaos. But between verse 1 and verse 2, there's theologians differ a little on this. Your opinion is good as theirs, so don't let titles mess you up, because they don't know any more about it than you do. But here's the theory. And I this is the theory I adhere to. That between verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. there was a disturbance in heaven, and God cast out Lucifer, and he sent him to the earth, and then the earth became without form and void. Because everywhere the devil shows up, there is chaos. Now, whether that's the way it happened or not, I'm sticking to it. Okay, you give me a better one and I'll check it out. But he created chaos. He created confusion. I like what it says, how it describes it in the Message translation. God created the heavens and earth. All you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. This is how he's describing chaos. This might describe your life right now. I don't know. But it's in chaos. It's dark. It's inky blackness. It's bottomless emptiness. It's soup of nothingness. And then it says, God's spirit brooded like a bird above the waters. The King James said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So get this picture. Chaos. The earth, chaos. Your life, chaos. Nothing's making sense. Everything's going the wrong direction. Everything you thought you knew is gone. Everything you depended on, everything that you thought would be, is suddenly evaporated and it's gone. And you're in this bottomless pit of nothingness and this soup of nothingness. And you're wondering what is going on. So here comes God, the master of chaos. And the Holy Spirit is brooding over chaos. Let me tell you, there's something about chaos that attracts the Spirit of God. So can I just tell you this morning, if you're in chaos, you are attracting the Spirit of God. You may not know it. You may not feel it. You may not think it. It doesn't matter. There's just something about chaos that attracts the Spirit of God. I could take you to the Valley of Dry Bones, and there God shows up. I could take you many other places. God shows up and hovers above chaos. And then there's some processes that I want you to see here. These are important. I'm going to go through them a little quicker than I did in the 9 o'clock service, hopefully. So here's what the first thing that pops out of the mouth. God said, let there be light. You see, chaos cannot stand light. So when you shine light on your chaos, if you can step back and see this from outside of yourself, and this is one of the things that we teach people in coaching, and it makes it different than counseling. If you can step back and see outside of yourself and look at this chaos that's going on and outside of yourself and see it, you can do what God did. You can say, let there be light. Or you could say, let there be Jesus, because Jesus is the light. When you shine the light of Jesus on your chaos, it starts doing stuff. When you look at the text here, when the light started shining on this chaotic world, it started doing stuff. Because darkness cannot stay in light. And so when you start, now you can shine different kinds of lights. You can shine educational lights. I'm not opposed to education. I used to be the president of a college. You can shine light, educational light, but it's limited. You can shine psychological light. I've got a little bit of a degree in that area. I don't have a whole thermometer. Only God does. It's just a little degree of it. But you can shine that on it, but it's limited. You can shine, I get in trouble here. You can shine the psychiatric model on it, and they'll give you all kind of labels. You'll be schizophrenic, bipolar. You'll be oppositional defiant. You'll be borderline personality. And they get to bill all your insurances for that, and it pays them pretty good. So you get all of these labels. Now, those things exist. I'm not throwing those under the bus. I'm just telling you that sometimes we shine different lights on our chaos, and we don't get the hope or the answers that we're needing. But when you shine the truth of the light of Jesus Christ on your chaos, chaos starts having to do something different. Okay, we got to move forward here pretty quick. I know I'm the one, you're not in control. And God saw the light, that it was good. Now here's something I want you to notice through this whole passage. Every time God completes a sequence, he says, it is good. So every time you take one step forward out of your chaos, you need to declare that was good. You might have just got out of bed this morning in your chaos, but you need to declare that was good. I got out of bed. If you've been in the bed depressed, you know it's good to get one foot out on the floor, right? But every time through the whole scriptures here, every time he completed a sequence, a process, he said it was good. You see, we're generally beating up on ourselves instead of validating ourselves. I took one step, I should have took two. No, rejoice over the one thing and let God keep you moving forward. Okay, if I stay over here, I'll do better. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. This is so good. When you're dealing with chaos, you got to divide things up. He divided light from dark. Here's what I can see. Here's what I can't see. Here's what I can understand. Here's what I don't understand. We sang about it this morning. Even if I don't understand, I'm going to trust you. You see, if I've got a little bit of light shining, then I've got something I can stand in. I can stand in my light instead of getting lost in my darkness. I don't understand everything that's going on. I can't understand everything that's going on in your life. I can't even understand everything that's going on in my life. But here's what I do know. I can stand in this light. I am persuaded that he is able to keep me against that day. I know that he's able to continue the good work that he has started in me. I know that nothing can separate me, things present nor things to come, powers nor principalities nor anything else can separate me. That thing that I don't understand cannot separate me from the love of God if I keep standing in the light that I have. Can you give him a great big praise offering? Okay. And God said, God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, every time, if you read this, every time God does something, he calls it something. He names it. This is light. This is day. That's dark. This is hope. That's still unknown. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to stay in my hope. I'm going to stay in what I have called it. Okay, and so he says he called the light day and the darkness he called night. And then verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Everybody get that? You got to divide the waters from the waters. So what's he doing here? He's starting to separate stuff. You see, in chaos, it's all mixed together. Our emotions, our thoughts, our beliefs, our assumptions, our doubts, our fears, they're all just mixed together. But when you start shining light, you can start separating things. Well, that's fear, and this is faith. That's hope, and that's despair. Now I know the difference. I know when I'm feeling hurt. I know when I'm feeling despair. I know when I'm feeling confused. But over here, I know when I'm feeling hope. I know when I'm feeling joy. I know when I have peace. So you start separating your emotions. And you start separating all the thoughts and the beliefs. You're not judging them. You're just separating them. And then he said he divided the waters from the waters. Now I thought about that for a while, prayed about it for a while, and said, God, what are you talking about? And he reminded me there's some places you don't drink the water. Just because it's in a pretty glass doesn't mean it's drinkable. Can you hear me? You've got to pay attention to who you are believing and what you are receiving. Because things can be deceptious. We were in our friend's house in Brazil, where I used to go quite often and do some work, and took a whole team of Life Impact people with me there on one occasion, and a couple occasions actually. And we were at the pastor's house, and they always so gracious to us and fed us and all of that stuff. And they had this bottle. It was in a drinkable glass of water, a bottle of water. Looked like a drink. It had a label on it, but it was in Portuguese, so I don't know what it said. I reached over and picked that up and started drinking it. Everybody panicked, started screaming at me in Portuguese. I don't know what they were saying. But boy, when the vinegar hit the tongue, I really quick divided water bottles from water bottles. See, everything is not consumable. Just because it has a religious tag on it, a name on it, let's divide the waters from the waters and let's drink from this book and no other book. He is the water of life. Okay, I've got to hurry. So then God made the firmament, verse 7, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Sometimes you have to set boundaries. You see, chaos has no boundaries. But when you start speaking boundaries, when you start setting boundaries, you don't let toxic people into your life. You don't let strange doctrine into your ears. You don't let people that's going to hurt you into the influential area of your life. You set boundaries. And if it doesn't fit with what the Word of God says, you don't have to believe it. Did you hear me? Somebody you knew might believe it. Somebody you loved might believe it. Somebody that you had a lot of confidence in might believe it. But that doesn't mean that you have to believe it if it doesn't measure up with the Word of God. Now, if you're going to get through chaos, you've got to start shining light, and you've got to start separating thoughts, and then you've got to start setting boundaries so that you can start seeing where chaos now is starting to have some order to it. Now, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God named everything. When God says it, it's good. Would you agree with that? So we can say, this is from God. This is not. We're separating stuff. Some people take stuff that's bad and think it's from God. That is incorrect theology. I like what Pastor Mike says. He said, if it's from God, it's good. If it's from God, it's good. If it's not from God, if it's not good, it's not from God. Now, that doesn't mean God's not going to take that's bad and turn it into something good. We know he does that, but we have to separate things out. This is God. This is not. This is light. This is dark. This is knowable. This is confusion. This is something I believe and can stand on. This is beyond my faith grade. Sometimes we'll say that's above my pay grade. It's not my responsibility. It's above my pay grade. Well, some things are above our faith grade. We just haven't arrived yet, but that doesn't mean that it's not true. It just means we have not taken it in. And so it's still out there. It's still true. So I'm just going to name that above my faith grade, but I'm going to stand in the faith that I have. And as I stand in the faith that I have, God will reveal to me how to believe for that. Is that helpful? Okay. I'm trying to get further than I have before. So God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. You see, when you start speaking life and light to your chaos, things start separating, and boundaries start setting up. And so here he says that the waters started moving into its place, and then dry ground started appearing. Now, the beautiful thing about dry ground is it got good footing. You can stand on it. It'll hold you up. So when you start separating stuff and you start putting things in their proper place with the light of Christ shining on it, some groundwork is going to start appearing, and you say, okay, I can stand on this promise. I can stand on this ground. This is solid ground. I can stand on it. And you can stand on it with somebody. And it's solid. It's there. And it's there for a purpose. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. Now, God tells this former chaotic world what he wants from it. I want you to get this. Right here, it goes from chaos to purpose. Because God now starts speaking. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Now get the picture here. God is sowing into what was chaos. Now he's sowing seed into what was chaos. And he's telling the earth, bring forth grass and bring forth fruit and bring forth the seed that is in you. He's already had it in the ground. Now he's calling it out. Can I tell you, God's life is already in you? You just need to let him call it out. You need to start calling it out. Call out the life of God in you, not the problems that the world has piled on you. And so he's telling the earth what he wants it to do. Now, what we're going to see here in a few moments is what was chaos has now become purposeful, and what has become purposeful has become abundant, and what has become abundant, what was destroying the earth, has now become the source to sustain it. Here we are, 2019, living on the face of the earth, enjoying everything God spoke into the earth way back then, whenever that was. We don't know chronologically. Some people think they know, we don't. But we don't know how long ago that was, but here we are still enjoying what God spoke into chaos. I'm telling you, when you start speaking into your chaos, future generations in your family are going to be blessed by what you're sowing into it today. Here we are, 2019. How many thousands of years ago was that? I don't know, but it doesn't matter, because Gary and Joyce and Sharon and I were out to dinner last night, and Gary was talking about that scientists believe the universes are continued multiplying and being made. I said, yes, it's because God's word doesn't stop anywhere. It just keeps going from generation to generation. How you deal with your chaos today is going to determine how generations after you are going to deal with it. So let's make it good. Give him a praise offering. You see, you're either sowing weeds of bitterness into that place of chaos, or you're sowing seeds of life. So if you're sowing regret and shame and guilt and condemnation and judgment and sorrow, if you're sowing all of that in, you're going to reap all of that. But what you sow in, when you start speaking life and peace and hope and joy and long-suffering and God's gifts and promises, you start speaking that. He said that seed will make of itself, and it'll start reproducing over and over and over again. I want to get to another point here really quick, because I'm talking about moving from chaos to purpose. You see, when he started speaking, God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. It's verse 14. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And so it was. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, we know that's the sun. Lesser light to rule the night, we know that's the moon. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Now, I want you to look what he's doing here. He's making some things permanent. If we want to move from chaos to purpose, we've got to make some things permanent. You see, the light, he gives us the analogy of the metaphor of the sun that is going to rule. And let me tell you, you need to get Jesus in that place where he's always shining on you. And he's even made it to shine in the darkness. He's made it to reflect back his light. He's made the moon. He made us to reflect back his light to others. When they can't see the sun, they ought to be able to see his light in us. So he puts some things in permanent place. This I am persuaded. We're not. You can't talk me out of my faith. I'm sorry. That is in place. And he said it's got seasons, signs. It goes through seasons. Now, we've got two here in Arizona, in Phoenix. We got hot and hotter. It's our two seasons, except for this year. But there's seasons. There's times that we go through. And things are not happening like we think they ought to happen. At the complex where we live, we went through a whole changeover, and we did new landscaping, all that, and they put in these little old scrawny plants, and they'd just been sitting there all winter, and I'm going out there and looking at it, and I'm thinking, these things ain't ever going to grow. They've just been sitting here, and they're doing nothing. And then one day, the sun started coming out, and it got hot, and those things that weren't budging all of a sudden are just blooming. blooming and blossoming and growing. And in just a few days, one of the plants, we got this about 8-foot wall. One of the plants, it was about this tall. And a few days later, that thing's coming over. Let me tell you, there's some things God's going to grow in you that's been laying dormant. But when you get some things fixed and you're okay with the seasons and the signs and trusting God through the dark times and the cold times and the warm times and the hot times, He's got things He wants to grow in you that won't grow until the season is right. But let's trust Him for the season of our lives. In His time, things will produce. Go ahead, give Him a great big praise offering. Now, here's what began to happen. I know what that means. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and fowl that may fly above the earth and the open firmament of the heavens. And God created whales and every living creature that moveth when the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind and every winged fowl of His kind. And then the cattle started multiplying on the hills and all living creatures after their kind. Let me tell you, when God's involved, abundance starts happening. Here it is. You got water that has nothing in it, and God speaks. You got land with nothing on it, and God speaks. When He starts speaking, abundance starts happening. If we keep resisting, abundance won't happen. But if we start speaking, it will begin to multiply because God is a God of abundance. Would you say that with me? He is a God of abundance, and He is good. All right. Give Him another great big praise offering this morning. I got one more verse I got to give you, and then I'm going to close. I love this verse. It comes out of Job chapter 42. It's the end of Job's chaos. But the Message translation puts this so good. It says, Job worships God. He said, I babbled about things far above me, beyond me. I'm convinced you can't do anything, and you can do anything and everything. Nothing and no one can upset your plans. You ask, who is this muddying the waters, ignorantly confusing the issue, second guessing my purpose? I admit it. I was the one. I like this line, because it makes it sound better than, I babbled on about things far beyond me, made small talk about wonders way over my head. You told me, listen and let me do the talking. Let me ask the questions, you give the answers. I admit I once lived by rumors of you. Now I have it all firsthand from my own eyes and ears. I'm sorry, forgive me. I'll never do that again. I love this next line. I promise I'll never again live on crust of heresy and crumbs of rumors. He said, I've made it through my chaos. Now I know my purpose. Would you stand to your feet with me right now? Would you just give God some love? Just worship Him right out of your heart this morning. I want the prayer team to come forward.